Falcons training camp on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. We're up in Flowery Branch. I'm Allie Mack with Mike Johnson, Bo Morgan. Dylan is back in the studio, and Gordon is out here with us. This hour is brought to you by Mark Spain Real Estate. Go to markspain.com. Get a guaranteed offer on your home today and start packing.
Dylan just did the cut my music wrestler thing where he just like cuts it right off.
I think I jumped it. I don't think that's on Dylan on that one.
Well, it was the weird rejoin that the Hooters came in late. So
you get a peek behind the curtain today, guys.
Yeah, nothing wrong with that. We will get a wake-up call in just 1 second. Do want to hear from people. I've already got people weighing in on the Twitters about the having a catch versus playing catch. It's crazy to me. So we'll hear from some of that in just a minute. I do – you know how sometimes you get a random person that pops in your head that you haven't thought about in years? Mm-hmm. Just looked inside the weight room because we are, I don't know, what, 20 feet in front of the weight room right now out here at Falcons training camp. Bo just brought up a certain linebacker in there, and I thought about a guy that I was rookies with. Do you remember Bear Woods?
Yeah, I knew you were going to say Bear Woods.
With the dreads that went to Troy. And he was an absolute preseason animal.
Yeah, he was.
Bear Woods was a preseason animal, a Jesse, if you will, during preseason camp.
I remember him.
The best dude you'll ever meet, man. It was such a pleasure playing with him. But I got to figure out what he's doing these days, man. It's been 15 years ago that I met Bear Woods, so hopefully he's doing well.
There's that. You do this long enough, and it's kind of an interesting point that you bring up. Is you do this long enough, and there are guys every year that you fall in love with at training camp because you watch them and they perform, and then you're like, how did that guy not make the team?
Yeah,
he had like 25 tackles in all four of the preseason, then and now three games, and then they're like, yeah. They just cut you, and the guy doesn't show up anywhere. You can't fathom it, and it's just weird. And it just shows you how hard, like, it is. Mike has talked about it the entire camp because there's like four or five guys that are undrafted that people keep thinking that guy's going to make the team and be a star. It just shows you how hard it is to, as an undrafted guy, to make it and then stick on it. I know, Mike, you've been saying those sentiments a lot, but
yeah.
I don't really think about that. I hear you talk about it, and it doesn't register in me. I hear you bring up Bear Woods, and then I go down that road. That's what registers when you – there are certain times when you'll say stuff, and I know what you're saying, but I don't dismiss it. It just doesn't hit me the same unless you associate a name with it.
Yeah, and it is crazy to think about because and you know, it's such an expanded practice squad nowadays too. Back then it was like, dude, it was maybe 8 or 9-man practice squad. So it was really, really tough to even make it from
7.
That angle. Yeah, maybe so. It was really, really tough to even make it from that angle. All right, Dylan.
And you could only be on it so long, not to cut you off, but you could only be on for like 4 years.
It wasn't even 4. I think it was 3.
And now it's unlimited everything. About 16 players plus an international and an unlimited time in the league.
Let's hit that wake-up call. All right, we're going to talk about a couple of different things, and I mentioned the having a catch versus playing catch. I had a couple people weighing in on Twitter about that. Also, if you want to call in, ask any questions about the Atlanta Falcons training camp, we're hearing your questions, comments, concerns all football season. Not, I was going to say all week leading up to the preseason game, but all football season if you want to call in with that as well. We also have some thoughts. Anybody heading to their first day of school, I hope drop-off goes well. Turns out drop-off actually went really well for my children.
Good.
I got the picture in with the chalkboard in front of the front door, and they have cried like every day this summer during drop-off, and today, not so much. My son yesterday, for the first time ever in his life, told me he was nervous and used the words well. So I was happy to hear that there was no tears on day one.
I wholeheartedly feel sorry for Mel when she gets to that age because Amy is a pitcher, like, guru, so to speak. She'll take 20 pitchers until she gets the one that she likes the best. Did Lindsay have a little bit of regret of not dressing them up in their clothes yesterday and putting them outside and doing the pitcher because it would have been nicer?
Yeah, I don't. Maybe.
It wasn't too much nicer, but it was a little bit.
Well,
nicer.
She did. She always does it outside and on their birthday as well. But she did it inside the front door today.
Okay,
which makes a lot of sense.
Okay, gotcha.
Do have a couple people weighing in on the whole having a catch versus playing catch. Our buddy Jamie Brown on Twitter says that's not a Jersey thing at all. I was born and raised in New Jersey. Okay, so he's just weird. All right. Also, our buddy DJ Diesel says I'm from New York City. We never said that mess.
I think the
crazy.
The neighbor with a punchable face
Yeah.
My words, not yours.
No, we can name him. His name's Brandon.
I think he's probably playing off Field of Dreams and thinking that, hey, man, this guy's in does sports radio. He's a sports guy. He'll definitely get the –
No.
And then he didn't realize that you've never seen any movie.
I've seen Field of Dreams. It's been a long time. But I have seen Field of Dreams. But he was adamant that that's just what he grew up calling it, man. Hmm. So it is what it is. Dylan, let's go out to the phone lines. Let's talk to our buddy Anthony over in Covington. Anthony, I hope you're having a great, rainy, misty Monday morning.
Good morning, good morning. I'm about to say the rain, not so much, but the weather being 66 degrees, we love it. Hey, Opie, hit me with that wah, wah, wah.
Oh, my goodness.
So,
makes my day
all right,
every time.
This whole having a catch thing, terrorism. That's all it is. He is a terrorist, and he deserves one really good throat punch. Like, as soon as you say that, that's automatically what you're getting, man. Like, I have never in my life. Like, hey, you want to go throw the baseball? Like, what's having a catch? Good Lord Almighty. Hey, before we get off here, the youngest member of Mike's Mafia, she actually has a question for Mr. Mike. Obie, ask Mr. Mike.
Mr. Mike, who's your hero?
Just in case you didn't hear that, she wants to know who your hero is, Mr. Mike. I hope you'll have a wonderful Monday. We'll listen.
Appreciate the phone call, Anthony. My hero is my father. My hero is my father. My dad worked 42 years at Winn-Dixie. He got a job as a bag boy when he was 16, and he never left that job until he retired just a couple of years ago, man. Wow. And he was a model of consistency. He always early to everything, always did everything that was asked of him, and he was able to retire at age 60 because of it, man. And he is my hero.
I tell you what, I think there's a lot of kids, and me included, that – I hear parents talk about missing stuff, and I'm like, you know, I think missing stuff's one thing, but I don't think your kid will ever forget how hard you work to help provide them with things.
No doubt.
I think that means more than anything.
Well, and you just don't realize, you know, the sacrifices that your parents make for you. Today is actually my dad's birthday. Happy birthday, Dad.
Happy birthday.
Yeah, happy birthday, Daddy Mac. I didn't realize we lived in Duluth. I grew up in Duluth. He was switching jobs, and he switched his job rather than moving us again. He decided to commute to McDonough. And after I made that commute one time, I was like, whoa, my dad, like, super loved us.
You know what?
Yeah.
My dad drove from Pawling County to Lawrenceville for a while.
Huge.
So, like, that's probably very similar, I think.
Yeah.
It is. Like, I'm telling you, I've heard people talk about, well, I don't want to work this job because I don't want to miss this with my family. I'm like, I get it. I do, because I'm going to be missing stuff very soon, and I'm already starting to think about it. But I don't think anything is a bigger impression on your kid than busting it and making all these sacrifices, and one day they're going to know that the only way I was able to do X, Y, or Z was because my dad missed this practice or missed this moment because they were or my mom, because there's a lot of single moms out there that need to be recognized as well.
Yep.
So their parent, I'll just say parent, because I don't want to, you know, alienate, because I think the moms deserve as much credit too. But it's cool when you say that. That's what I think of.
No, there was many times that my dad would work a 12-hour shift at Winn-Dixie and manage, and then he would get off. He'd throw on a baseball cap or whatever team I was playing for at the time, and he'd go stand in the first base coach's box.
Yeah,
and he would be exhausted, and his, you know, his eyes were bloodshot, but he'd be there and was always there. So he's my hero for that. All right, let's go back to the phone lines. Let's head over to Sewanee and talk to our buddy Swami Dave. Swami Dave, what's going on this morning, bud?
Hey guys, how's it going today? Good morning. Listen, Mike, I absolutely compliment you on your patience dealing with somebody who doesn't, you know, kind of understand the English language. But at the end of the day, I mean, you kind of understand where people are from, you know, whether it's Coke or pop or soda or whatever. But I guess from my perspective, I'd have been okay that he used the term and I had to kind of look at him sideways and say, what do you mean? You're talking about playing catch or throwing the ball or something like that. Where I would have had trouble, and congratulations for you to not leaving a scar on his left chin, was he's defending as if it's somehow more right because we're not keeping scores, so we're not playing. As if girls playing with Barbies are having something like that, or you're playing with Legos, you're keeping score. I don't get it, dude. But congratulations to you, and you guys have a great day.
Thanks, Swami Dave. Appreciate that.
I mean,
that's exactly what we were talking about in the middle of the break, too. It's like, what do you play that you don't keep score? And we came up with Legos.
But we used to, even when we were having a catch or playing catch or throwing the football. We would have a game on whoever dropped the most.
Right.
Or the least, right?
Everything had a score.
Yeah,
it
was always, there's always.
Who could build the biggest Lego castle?
Yeah, right? You can make everything competitive if you want to.
All right, let's get into one more phone call here, Dylan. Let's talk to our buddy Bryson over in Alpharetta. Bryson, what's up, man? Hope you're having a good Monday.
Hey, how are y'all doing?
Doing great, man.
So I've got I guess I got a few questions for you. It doesn't really relate to the training camp, but it's just about the season. So,
cool.
Number one, what is your record prediction for the Falcons this year from each of you guys?
All right.
And then number two, considering that Raheem and Fontenot's jobs are probably on the line this season, if Penix is struggling, do you think they would go to Cousins? And then number three, but making the playoffs, and I know we haven't made the playoffs in 7 years, but making the playoffs be enough to call this year a success despite the expectations that have been set this year? Thanks.
Great phone call, Bryson.
Bryson, there is so much to unpack with all the questions you just asked. We need to put a little more thought into that, and we're right up against it. So we're going to answer your questions on the other side, along with getting more into Zach Robinson's comments from over the weekend and what we're looking for at practice today. That is next with the Morning Shift live from Falcons training camp on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and
the Odyssey app.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. It is the Morning Shift, and we are live from Falcons training camp in Flowery Branch. I'm Allie Mack with Mike Johnson, Bo Morgan. Dylan's back at the studio. Gordon is producing the show out here, and we have fans coming through the gate here at Falcons training camp. A lot of kids missing the first day of school today.
I love it.
What I'm seeing.
I personally absolutely love it.
Yes, absolutely amazing. If you are coming out here, bring your umbrella, bring your raincoat. It's a little dicey, but this is going to be perfect to see a practice happen today.
Yeah, you don't do anything on the first day of school anyways, right?
That's exactly what I was about to say. You don't do anything. It's like syllabus day. It's all good.
Also, I would bring, if you didn't bring a lawn chair, I would bring a like a seat cushion, because if not, you're going to have a wet butt on the grass. Most people do bring chairs. Also, I might bring little nails to put in between the chairs, like the holes in the chair, so your seat doesn't slide. Yeah.
Little nails.
That's actually a pretty good idea. I mean, it looks like everyone else prepared a lot better than we did for coming out here.
I'm mad at myself because
when the stakes. Both, you know, little nails, sticks. Yeah, that's it.
I'm actually mad at myself because I've got so much Falcons gear that I could have brought with me today with a hood and rain pullovers and some of it's rain repellent. I'll use that word. and since I choke,
water resistant.
Yeah.
And as Gordon pointed out, instead you're dressed like an Amazon employee. Too.
Yeah, I look like I do. Because I'm walking out the door. Dude, here's the deal. Here's how rushed or just ridiculously dumb I can be at times. I'm walking out the door and I feel like a little mist and I go, oh yeah, it could rain today. And I look and I have this is a golf pullover, and it's a short sleeve golf rain pullover. And I had worn it Thursday. And I had left it in the garage hanging on the golf club so it would dry, so it didn't mildew. And because some people just put it back in their bag, like dum-dums, Carter. And so I did like this with my golf partner. He did it. And so I just grab it, and I'm like, oh, out the door I go. And I'm like, dude, you could have went upstairs and grabbed like three of your Falcons pullovers and been perfectly good with today. But no. No.
But you know why everyone walking through the gates right now, you know why they're prepared, Bo? Because
of me.
No, because I told them.
Oh, you?
Told them this morning.
Oh, taking credit. Is that what we're doing all day?
Hey, you've learned. I gave her a pound because she's learned. She's learned. That's what you do. Look, I work with Mike Bell. He took credit for it. Mike still takes credit for the signing of Alex Mack. I know he's on his way up here. It was just because they were listening to me. I said, do that. And I'm like, I don't think it took you to tell him to sign Alex Mack, but go ahead, Mike.
Well, we're going to get to Zach Robinson's comments in a moment, but Bryson was asking during the wake-up call a few great questions, and thank you so much for those questions, Bryson. We had to think about them, ponder it a minute. First of all, he wanted to know individually, Mike and Bo, what do you think the Falcons' record will be this season? Is it too early to tell?
Man.
Or
there's just so many variables with this. And I think that, you know, as we build up the season, we always try to do this. I hope that they are, I don't know, I hope it's 10-7. Mm-hmm. I think that my expectations last year were 10-7, and it was off to a good start, and then you fall flat. So I think whatever it takes to get in the playoffs, I'm still sitting right there at 9-8 in my brain, and we'll see where that takes us. I think it's very important if you're going to go 10-7 to win the first game and get in the playoffs to win the first game. So we'll see how that all pans out. But as it is right now, I do think they're going to be over 500. It's just how far over 500 can you get, and what challenges will you see, and how good can this defense be this year under Jeff Ulbrich, and can Michael Penix take a step? Because it really is an unknown that we think is a known, but it's not. So
it's hard for me to say anything different than all that what Mike just said, but I do think 10-7. And I think the second one was about Penix Cousins, right? No, I don't think Cousins plays unless Penix gets hurt. I don't. At some point, you can't. Here's the thing for me. I watched Dan Quinn and Thomas seemingly coach and make moves to save their job for a couple years, and it put this franchise in a very, very bad spot. And that's what happens when you make moves as a head coach and a GM for the short-term future, you end up putting yourself in trouble. And so, to me, the best thing for – if I was Arthur Blank and I saw them pull Penix just because they – you know, he was playing rough and not allow him to develop, I'd be very upset. I'd be very upset because now you're hurting the long-term future of not only this team, but the player as well. And, oh, by the way,
ding.
This team's next at least 2 years is tied to that player.
Yeah, there's no doubt about it. And I would be curious. I honestly don't have any insight into that. You know, is there an injury hiccup that, you know, kind of leads you in that direction? I would be hard-pressed to think that they would pull a – you know, Bryce Young, for lack of a better way to put it, where he struggled last year and you benched him for, what, 2 or 3 weeks, and he comes back in, ends up doing really well. But I always think there is some conversation around you don't want to damage anybody in the long run. So I don't know. I don't foresee that happening. As a matter of fact, I'm not even going to speak that into existence by even talking about it, because it really makes me kind of sick as well. So I don't foresee that being an issue, and there's too much upside to the offense right now to think that that's going to be a problem.
And you can blame it on injury publicly if you wanted, but the players are always going to know. If Michael Penix is feeling good enough to go out there and play, but maybe not performing, you can say, well, he's banged up. We're going to sit him, let him recoup. Like, in his head, he's going to know that, well, if I was playing a little bit better, that wouldn't be happening.
Yeah.
So you can fool the fans in the national perspective a little bit, but you're not fooling the guy that's doing it, and that hurts him mentally.
Yeah.
That's why I get frustrated. Go, you know, not to make this about baseball, but when people are like, "Well, just bring them up, and if they suck, send them back down." Do you know what you're doing mentally to that player? Like, you're destroying confidence.
You're hitting the reset button on everything he's built up to at that point.
Yeah, that's not how you handle franchises, right, Mike? I mean,
yeah, no,
you
I'm
played.
With you on that. It's a fine line, and I'm with you. I don't want to think about the prospects of the GM or the head coach in any situation that would be, you know, making decisions based off of short-term success for them as opposed to long-term success for the player and the franchise. So I don't even want to speak that into existence, because I hope it doesn't come to that. But it has before. So, you know, we'll see. We'll you know, kind of ride the wave as it comes. But, man, that'd be a long year.
And you affect yourself getting a job down the road as a GM when people see that you did that stuff. I mean, I'm not saying that Thomas Dimitroff would never get a job, because I'm personally like Thomas. I got along with him. I thought he was very good for the franchise. But I do think, you know, you can say, well, I'm not looking for a GM job right now, all you want. But I do think some guys roll right into the next job. And I think when people see – moves that were done to save your skin and not for the best of the franchise, I think it hurts your prospects.
Yeah.
Well, and one other question that Bryson was asking was, is this season only a success that they go to playoffs, or is there another definition of success for this season?
Well, and I thought that he was asking, and I'm not sure. I apologize. I thought he was asking if is just making the playoffs good enough. And so I think the only way this season is a success and you don't make the playoffs is a 9-8, so over 500, and there's a major injury to this team that kept you from doing better, right? And maybe making the playoffs.
Yeah, that's fair.
But to me, making the playoffs is good enough to bring back Terry and Raheem. And you can get mad or whatever all you want, but the thing about it is hitting with you fire a GM, you hit a reset button on and a coach, you hit a reset button on the entire building at times. And I don't think people understand when they say fire everybody, that's kind of what happens. I watched people that had nothing to do with the owned field leave this franchise just because there was a new person here.
Yeah, and I don't think most people understand how big continuity is. I know Zach Robinson talked about it over the weekend about having all your starters back, and you know, four of the five or four and a half of the five returning, and your wide receivers and everybody else on offense back, and he's back. So to have the continuity, I don't think most people realize that. We've talked to Jesse Bates and Caden Ellis last week personally about how hard it's been to have four straight defensive coordinators that have put you in different systems. We also sat right here at this table and talked to Terry Fontenot about how soon can you get the personnel that a Jeff Ulbrich needs to run his defense. And he was talking about that's the first conversation you have. What do you need to be successful? So, yeah, I'm with you. Just I know that the fire the coach thing, it's an easy kind of band-aid for everybody, but guys, there's no just miracle turnaround. I mean, we see teams that have first year coaches that go to the playoffs, sure, but yeah, it's not something that just happens overnight, and you can definitely hurt things in the long term if you make those decisions based on that.
Is it fair to say that much like smoking cigarettes at a young age stunts your growth and development, that firing a coach and coaches over and over again will stunt the growth of a young player?
There's no doubt about it. I mean, that's quite the metaphor for that. But yeah, I would say that's well, definitely accurate. I mean, just fitting into the right scheme just can help you so much in the long run. So yeah, I mean, I don't even want to go down the road. I'm talking about it, and we've done a whole segment about it. But I was sitting there in the break going, I don't want to answer these questions because I don't want to speak them into existence.
Well, yeah. I like to answer questions like that because I think that's something that I don't think Bryson was it.
Bryson
is the only guy in his car.
No, there's no doubt
that's thinking that, or a fan base thinking that. And I think they're important questions to answer right now because I think that should set expectations. And also, I did just watch that King of the Hill where Bobby got caught smoking, and Hank made him smoke a carton, and then he became addicted. Dude, that rolls me into my life of squid tees.
All right, hold on 1 second, because I did promise some Zach Robinson cuts, some audio. We're going to play those on the other side along with the life of squid.
I found a new TV. Well, my wife found a new TV show that I then secretly watched a few, and it's very raunchy, and I think I'm hooked to the show. Also, there's an old favorite returning today on the Hulu. Next on the Morning Show, Sports Radio 929 The Game. And
the Odyssey app. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. It is the Morning Shift, and we are live from Falcons training camp up in Flowery Branch. I'm Allie Mack with Mike Johnson, Bo Morgan, Dylan holding it down back at the home studio, Gordon out here with us, freezing alongside with us.
It is cold.
It just got a little bit colder. So if you're coming out here, make sure to dress warm. This hour has been brought to you by Mark Spain Real Estate. Go to markspain.com, get a guaranteed offer on your home today, and start packing.
Is this the effects of El Nino?
La Nina. You know exactly.
A little Saturday Night Live.
Yes, Chris Farley.
I've seen multiple people walk by in jeans. I just never thought that I would see jeans out here like this at a training camp practice the first weekend in August. Well, week of August.
Not from a sane person anyways.
Yeah, it's crazy. But now I'm like, people. Man, now I look at them, I'm like, I'm jealous. I got golf shorts on. I'm like, man, those look awesome. Those look
I
warm.
Know. I'm like, I should have worn jeans
Some
today.
People are just jeans people. Like, they always wear jeans. I don't understand.
The Commissioner Gordon right here is definitely one of them.
No, I've seen him in shorts.
Yeah, I mean, I have too, but
He's wearing jeans today.
If I wore jeans, if I wore jeans today, I'd probably be sweating. So yeah, it is.
If I can never have to wear jeans, I don't. But I do obviously during the wintertime a little bit. I think I'm too fat right now to fit in my jeans. I'm going to have to lose a little bit of weight.
I did see an oddly sad thing the other – just a moment ago. I was throwing a wrapper away, and in that trash can, there's an umbrella tossed in there. I feel so bad. Whoever lost that umbrella, I feel bad because it probably flipped inside out.
Oh, yeah. It was a casualty.
R.I.P.
It was a casualty.
R.I.P. So make sure to bring your umbrella if you are coming out here today. I mean, this just means the guys are going to practice a little bit harder, right, because they're not going to be sweating. They're not going to be exhausted as quickly.
It's going to be entertaining. I will say that. I mean, look, there's a reason that there are still fans rolling into the gate because you will have practice. I told you guys earlier when we started the show, they will practice in this stuff. And this is the perfect weather. This right here is the perfect weather for football practice to be in rain.
This is one of those days where I wish they were going to the ground. I just love to see someone make a diving catch and then like the water go up and they just slide like 5 more yards.
There would definitely have to be a splash zone if they were going to the ground today. So over the weekend at training camp, defense had a really good weekend. So Zach Robinson did a presser and was kind of talking about that over the weekend, about how the defense won today, but it's good for Michael Penix.
I think today, overall, as an offense, the defense definitely got the better of us. But it's been a great start for Mike. Great start with, you know, the receivers. We're missing Mooney a little bit, but the other guys are stepping up and they're doing a great job. Offensive line, pass protection, run game, they're doing their part. So I'm really pleased with where Mike's at. You know, we had a good situation that came up yesterday, and you know, threw an interception, his first one at camp, in kind of a, you know, ozone type of situation, we call it. And so those are the, you know, the things that the more situations we can put him in to simulate the games, knowing he's only played 3 games, but he's got so much experience that even the conversations that him and I have after a series, he sees the game so well, and he's just incredibly intelligent in that regard.
It's just there's so many different, like we talked about, so many different nuances and caveats to these periods out here at practice. And I believe Zach Robinson when he talks about Michael Penix. And I think he understands that he has 2 quality quarterbacks on hand that can play the game at a very high level. And you never know. We talked about it earlier. You never know what's being asked of Michael Penix in these different conversations, these different period of practice, different drills, 3rd down, red zone, move the ball, 11 v 11, good v good, inside run, things like that. And they kind of talked about it a little bit. They don't do as much 7-on-7. A lot of their passing stuff is 11-on-11, moving around the pocket and being able to deliver the ball in those tight windows. So I think he's spot on kind of with the diagnosis about Michael Penix that, hey, there's going to be hiccups along the way, but overall he's been pretty good so far this camp.
Yeah, I think it's hard to fully – understand what you're seeing at times at camp, but it's one of those deals where watch the little things, you know, or like little wins, right? I mean, you know, a guy makes a good catch, it's a good catch no matter what, right? I mean, a guy makes a read, steps in front of a receiver and intercepts something, that's good. Now, was the ball asked to be forced in that spot to see if the guy, you know, I think we don't understand. And I say we as, like, you know, fans don't always understand what the coaches are absolutely doing. There was a play, and I know we got into the cup, but there was a play a few years ago, 2016, and Austin Hooper was a rookie. And Matt Ryan throws a pass, and it's Kyle Shanahan stepped up and intercepted it. Kyle, the coach, the offensive coordinator, intercepts it. And it went viral, thanks to Knox Bardeen, but it went viral. And everyone was like, Matt Ryan sucks. And in reality, it was a route that Austin Hooper didn't run right. He ran it too shallow, which is why too deep, and didn't, and that's why it actually got picked off, because Kyle Shanahan stepped where it was supposed to be, where the pass was thrown, where it was supposed to be. And it was a teaching moment. And everybody that watched it, it went viral, was like, coach so upset when Matt Ryan intercepts him or something. Like something like it was just like all about Matt, and it wasn't.
Well, yeah. And going back to Michael Penix and some of the rumblings that have gone on around him, Zach Robinson also talked about how he's never agreed with the notion that he is inaccurate.
Sure. Yeah, I think there was, you know, I didn't feel personally like the completion percentage, you know, in the small game, in a small three-game sample size, the box score stats, as we know, can be a little bit misleading. We know he's going to be aggressive throwing the ball down the field. We've had some intentionally scripted days where we're trying to throw some underneath stuff just to kind of get some of that game going, because I know he's going to be aggressive on game day, and that's what we want. But that stuff will take care of itself. I think the camaraderie that he has with the receivers right now, with Ray, he's had a great camp. Obviously, Drake, he's made a ton of plays. We've been able to get some shots down the field. Bijan's, you know, doing a great job in the pass game as well. So they'll continue to grow. We still got, you know, over a month before the first game. And it's cool to see where we're at now with those guys. And as opposed to, you know, he got thrown in that first week and he had never thrown a routes on air rep to Mooney. And they were able to make some things happen. But to go back to your question, I think it's just going to naturally take care of itself. That's where I can help out with play calls, trying to get some underneath stuff that can kind of get him in a rhythm.
It's so frustrating, again, to look on Twitter and see, hey, he's 8 of 20 today. You have no idea what the nuance of the situation is. Is it 2 minute? Are they saying, hey, basically don't swallow the ball? Are they working on 2-point conversions? You know what I mean? Like, you don't ever know what's being asked. We never know if it's fourth down. We never know if it's, you know, third down situations. And so Zach Robinson speaking right there is just basically saying, hey, we're putting him up to bat at times, saying there's no reason to throw this ball away or to tuck it and run it. Make sure you're putting these guys in situations on these crossing routes to allow them to win or no one to win. So when you do see an incompletion, it's like, yeah, I mean, maybe it was, but, you know, you don't know what's in his ear and what's being said.
As long as he doesn't get lost in these moments and doesn't forget, hey, in a game, throw this away. I don't care if he throws 20 interceptions in a practice or, you know, he forces a bunch of balls in. As long as he never loses that, and I think probably that's an instinctual thing that he's already got to not throw the ball in there, right? I mean, it's not kind of his MO.
Sure.
So as long as he doesn't lose that, I don't care. They've got to work. They've got to get the DBs practice too. They got to get everybody reps. They got to get everybody comfortable doing things and trying to fight for contested balls. And you got to make contested catches sometimes in the NFL. If it's third and if it's fourth down and the game's on the line, don't throw the damn ball away. You need to have practice
exactly.
In that moment.
Exactly. And there's a good chance that a lot of the things that have happened in these situations are just, like I said, is situational. You're not going out there in a game and just playing first, second, third, and fourth down like you would normally. At most times in practice, it's not like that. So it kind of is what it is in terms of the old 8 of 20 or whatever it may come out as on Twitter.
All right, Dylan.
It's time for a look back
into the mind of Squid Billy.
Hey, he might even talk sports.
This is the Life of Squid on the Morning Shift.
Brought to you by Baron Burton's W Sauce and New Realm Brewing Company, official craft beer partner for Kennesaw State Athletics.
Yep, Baron Burton's W Sauce, the Fireshire, what's it? No, I was actually say breakfast sauce. Breakfast sauce too. I had a buddy of mine, Domer, hit me up. Like, hey man, I got to get some of that breakfast sauce too. I'm like, dude, go to Publix. Go online, wsauce.com.
I have no insight.
Or
go to the store.
Or maybe I have some for you. You never know, because he's a buddy of ours. But so I got to mention this real quick because it's just one hit. But today is the return of the new King of the Hill. So they're bringing back King of the
wow.
Hill. And everybody's aged. They aged everybody. Something that, like, cartoons or, you know, animated series never really do is age people. They've aged everybody. And so I cannot wait to watch that because I've been just watching it here and there, the old reruns. But I walk in the room and Amy's watching this TV show on the Netflix. Mm-hmm. And it's very raunchy.
Risque.
Raunchy.
Okay.
A little bit. I mean,
wow.
I guess risque, but like.
That's a whole other level up from risque.
Well, it's. And I'm going to get into this. This show is called Hunting Wives.
I've heard a lot about this
and
show.
So I go, right. What are you watching? Because there's a scene on, and she's like, oh, well, you'd probably like this. And
oh, wow.
It's kind of
wow.
Like. It's
she
got a very.
You out.
It's basically like Desperate Housewives meets Game of Thrones.
Okay.
Okay. And it's not in medieval times, but
okay.
think about the sex scenes in Game of Thrones yeah, early in it.
They were raunchy.
Yeah. Yeah. And put that to Desperate Housewives type storylines with like housewives and everything. So I'm 3 episodes in. And this has got everything, man. I mean, affairs, murder, you know.
Well, it's got Brittany Snow, right? Brittany Snow.
Yeah.
And
well, it's got the girl. Have you ever seen the movie Couples Retreat?
Yes.
Yeah. So Vince Vaughn's wife in Couples Retreat.
Yeah.
Maylin.
Yeah, she's like
Ackerman.
She's kind of like a Tony Soprano type character, where she's the anti-hero. But I mean, she's not Tony Soprano. Don't get me wrong, but she's kind of this anti-hero that, you know, you're kind of like, all right, she's cool. It's got Dylan. Dylan somebody.
So how many bottles of W sauce are we giving this thing?
Right now, I'm three episodes in.
Okay.
And I would say it's probably four bottles of W sauce.
Four bottles of W sauce.
It kind of grips you, because there's a lot going on, and it really is gripping. I've already got a character I think I don't like, and a character I think is a complete buffoon. So
Is there a character you do like? Because that was my thing with White Lotus. I was like, I don't like any of them, so I'm not going to watch season two.
So I don't know. It's hard to say.
Okay.
I don't dislike. There's some characters I don't dislike, but they're all human, so they've got their flaws, right?
So you were saying Dylan, though. Were you trying to say Dermot Mulroney?
Yeah, whatever his name is.
My best friend's wedding.
I thought it was Dylan McDermott, but yeah, maybe that's somebody else. That guy, he's in it, and he kind of plays like, see, his character's even, Amy was like, yeah, he's never seen him play a bad guy, and I'm like, he's really not bad. Is he lacking morals? Yeah. But right now he's not like a
murderer. He's just
a jerk.
He's just a jerk. He's not trying to, you know, he's not going Joker from Batman. He's just a jerk.
Like, to my knowledge, he's not a murderer. Dude, and it's so funny because it's based in Texas, and they basically base the people as one political party, and then they take shots at the other one, but it's basically a shot at that. So it's kind of funny how it's like they're – you can tell how they're doing it, and I'm like, oh, that's kind of funny. But, yeah, it's got everything in it. So I'm three episodes in. I don't know how many episodes there are, but I'm very interested to finish it.
Will you try to watch this, like finish it with your wife?
No, she's way ahead of me. She's probably – I'm like three episodes in. She's at least –
watching the raunchy show by himself then.
Well, she started it.
No, man.
She started it by herself.
It's going to look weird when she walks in and you're watching the raunchiness by yourself.
No, I purposely watched it when she was asleep yesterday morning. I was like, I don't want to get caught watching it. I did. I'm not going to lie.
It's about like your wife finding your algorithm on your search screen on Instagram. You don't ever want that.
Did feel dirty watching it. I'm not going to lie. Because Amy was like, oh, you like it. It's raunchy. And I'm like, well, maybe I'll turn it on.
This is probably a good note for us to get out of here.
No doubt.
Wait, is that something upstairs? I better pause this.
For Mike, Bo, Dylan, Gordon, myself, Allie Mack, thank you for being here today. The Steakhouse is coming up next. Steak and Mike are going to brave the weather out here. Next, from Falcons training camp on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. And don't forget to
stay dry, Atlanta.
Stay warm.